thank you for this day and this time that you've brought us together to hear your word. Now, Father, I ask that you would bless our time as you would speak to us concerning our lives and our living. Father, I've studied, but only you can make me prepare. I'm willing, oh God, but only you can make me able. Allow me to uphold your cross that men might see you and none of me, to the end that you get the glory, you get the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 To God our Father, to Jesus our Savior, to the Holy Spirit who is the Paraclete, who comes alongside to help and aid us in this thing we call life. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. And I want to just thank God for our beloved pastor. Thank him for just his kindness and his words, his mentorship, his love, and his affirmation, and his trust, even in this moment. I thank God for him. Can we thank God for the greatest pastor anywhere in the world? Amen. Amen. Thank you all for the celebratory notices. I'm tired this morning, of course. Because we had a big day on yesterday. But even in that, we rushed home to see if we could finish so that we can prepare for you on this morning. And I'm so glad to have my best piece of jewelry with me today. Amen. My sweetheart is here. Won't you just wave at the people? Amen. I'm just so glad to have her with me. Before we understand science, calendars, time, galaxies, and even the Earth's rotation, many of us were introduced in preschool to a language and reality of seasons. It is there where we learn that seasons were connected to change. And in their pursuit to educate us, somebody told us that no season is like the other one. That in one season you put on shorts. In another season you put on a coat. In one season leaves fall. In another season flowers begin to bloom. In one season, the weather is warm, and in another season, the temperature becomes a tad bit colder. And perhaps if you walk outside and notice that it's 113 degrees outside, well, then you just live in Houston and you need to run for your life for shade and safety. As children, we're taught how to recognize seasons by what changed around us. If the leaves are falling, it's fall. If the flowers were blooming, it's spring. If the snow is falling, it's winter. And if the heat is rising, then it's summer. But as we get older in life, life has a way of teaching you about seasons long after school has dismissed. Because eventually you learn that there are not only natural seasons, but there are spiritual seasons, emotional seasons, relational seasons, financial seasons, grieving seasons, waiting seasons, barren season, and yes, even hard seasons. Life teaches us that there are some seasons that you cannot identify by the weather, but rather by what went missing in your life. Well, how do you know you're in a hard season? Well, you know you're in a hard season because hard seasons identify themselves when the joy you used to have is now harder to find. It's a hard season when the strength that you used to feel is constantly on the decline. It's a hard season when the people you once leaned on are no longer in your corner. It's a hard season when the plans you've made began to fall apart and the places that used to produce peace now produce pressure. And church, if you live long enough, you will discover that some seasons do more than change the weather around you. Some seasons strip you on every level of support that's beneath you. Somebody here knows what I'm talking about. Because when you look at your life, the confidence that you used to walk with is now gone. The stability that you used to count on is gone. The normalcy that you used to know is gone. The clarity that you prayed for has not come yet. The support that you expected is nowhere to be found. The life that you thought that you would be living by now has been reduced to an idea of the past. The job that you counted on is gone. The relationship among other things that you thought would last is gone. And oh, child of God, when life strips away enough from you, you will begin to ask a question that cannot be answered by a calendar, a paycheck, a position, or a person. And that question is, what do you do when God is all that you have left? And you can't turn to nothing and nobody else for security, stability, and safety. Family, if that question feels familiar to you, then you're already standing in the detention of Habakkuk chapter number 3. Because Habakkuk is not writing from a season where everything is blooming. He's writing on the edge of a season where every previous visible support has reached its limit. Nothing is working for Habakkuk. Habakkuk's in a season where everything that should be producing has stopped producing. Habakkuk writes that the fig tree does not blossom. The vine has no fruit. The olive crops fail. The fields produce no food. The flock has been cut off from the fold. And the herd is missing from the stalls. Habakkuk is making clear this is not just a bad day. This is a hard season. This is not merely inconvenience. This is a crisis and a loss on every level of survival. And it's right there in the tension of this text where everything has gone missing that Habakkuk says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's the tension in the text, and that's the burden of the sermon. Habakkuk teaches us that when life has taken what you thought you needed, your faith can still hold on to the God that remains. And that's what I want to talk about today. Thank you, choir, for your music, because you are all in the message. I want to talk about what to do when God is all you have left. What to do when God is all that you have left. Our scripture for today is found in Habakkuk chapter number 3, verse number 17. It reads on this wise, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be, nor fruit on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's. He will make me to tread in high places. First thing I want to share with you is that you must realize what hard seasons reveal about your dependence. You must realize what hard seasons reveal about your dependence. Here in this passage of scripture, we are introduced to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Let the church say Habakkuk. Habakkuk is identified as one of the minor prophets, not because of the scope of his message, but because of the brevity of his book. Habakkuk's uniqueness lies in the fact that not only is he a prophet that has been commissioned to speak for God, but in response and protest to what he sees in the land, he's one who wrestles with God. As Habakkuk surveys and wrestles with his current day and reality, the scenery that surrounds him is filled with that of violence, injustice, trouble, turmoil, and confusion. And because what he sees does not match what he believes about God, Habakkuk questions God on the matter of why God seems to be silent and why God has not moved the way that he expected God to move. And as a consequence, Habakkuk learns quickly that it's not that God can't handle your questions, but rather it's often that we're not prepared to handle God's answers. Because when God speaks back to Habakkuk, he responds in so many words. He tells him, Habakkuk, the situation that you're going through right now, let me just go on peel the fat off of this. He says, it's going to get worse before it gets better. He says, Habakkuk, what the judgment that's coming through Babylon and the trouble that's ahead is not going to just affect the nation politically, but what's coming down the pipeline is going to affect people personally. Similar to what's happening in America. God makes it clear to Habakkuk that in this season, there will be no area of life that will be untouched, because the coming judgment is going to reach the fields, it's going to reach the flocks, it's going to reach the stalls, it's going to touch the economy, it's going to get into food supply, it's going to be in the normal places where people look for stability, support, and survival. So when we arrive to verse number 17, Habakkuk is not giving us poetry. He's not speaking eloquently about a few bad crops. He's describing a crisis, a hard season, where everything that was once dependable has dried up. It's depleted. It's failed. It's emptied. It's disappeared. And nothing that it used to produce is producing anymore. And it's from this place Habakkuk teaches us what to do when God is all you have left. Because Habakkuk communicates between the lines of verse 17 that hard seasons don't just reveal what you lost, hard seasons reveal what you were dependent on. Because when you look at it, everything that Habakkuk aforementioned, such as the fig tree, the field, the vine, the olive, the flock, the herd, these are not just possessions, these are places of dependence. They represent food, income, stability, security, safety nets, and survival. These were not luxuries, these were necessities. And oh, child of God, the problem in this text is not that we need, that we have necessary things. The problem is when necessary things become ultimate things. Let me say it this way. The problem is not with you having a job. The problem is when your job becomes your source. The problem is not having money. The problem is when your money becomes your security. The problem is not having relationships. The problem is when people become the foundation of who you are. The problem is not having plans. The problem is when your plans become the basis of your peace. I wish I had somebody here. The problem is not you having support. The problem is when your support becomes your leaning post for strength, and when life strips you of all of your sense of security and stability, you will soon find out where you put your trust all along. Can I sit on your porch for a minute and let you know that it's easy to trust God when everything's going your way? It's easy to trust God when doors are opening and prayers are being answered, bills are being paid, relationships are healthy, opportunities are flowing, and life is producing the way you expected it to produce. It's easy to say that God is good when everything is good. It's easy to say God will provide when you got a refrigerator full of food. It's easy to shout, won't God do it, when you don't have raging storms in your life? But the question is, can you trust and depend on God when your car gets repossessed?
Can you trust God when God, when the job gives you a pink slip? Can you trust God when you've got more debt than you have monthly income? Can you trust God when the diagnosis doesn't change? Can you trust God when the life puts you in a funeral procession of a loved one? Can you trust God when you were expecting a baby but you got a miscarriage? Can you trust God when your marriage is on life support? Can you trust God any way you live?
Can you trust God when it doesn't go your way? Whatever the case, hard seasons reveal what you put your trust in. And though you're going through a hard season, and it's a hard lesson, it's a holy lesson. Because can I tell you, sometimes hard season show you not only what you lost, but they show you what you've been leaning on too much. And that's why Matthew 6 and 19, 21 tells us, lay up for yourselves treasures. Don't lay up yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't miss this, church, because the gift and grief of a hard season is this, that the grief is that it hurts to lose what helped you. But the gift is, hard seasons show you how to realign and anchor your dependence on God so that you can know that God was enough all along. And if you just break down and be honest this morning and just be a witness to who God is in your life and has been in your life, many of us can testify that hard seasons taught us what an easy season never could. Let me put it this way. It's in our extremities that God gives us opportunity to see him in a new way. Let me see if I can make that clear. When you're going through a hard season, you really know if you're rooted and grounded for real, for real. Because hard seasons, you can't get on your knees and pray immature, childish, bedtime prayers. Now I'm laying me down to sleep. In hard seasons, you can't come in here and give God worship because you feel like it or not. When you're in a hard season, you get to a place of desperation and dependence, and you pull a smoking knuckle and you say, I need you now. Listen, I've tried everything else. I've depended on everything else. I've run out of ideas on how to pretend. I've already gone the wrong places and done the wrong things and been with the wrong people. And God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to be able to make get through this storm. But you needed it. Because if you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve them. If you never had that situation, you wouldn't know what faith in God could do. And so hard seasons reveal what we're depending on. Second thing I need to tell you, and I'm out your way, is that you must rejoice in God when you can't rejoice over life. This is for mature saints who've grown beyond feeling good in church, feeling good in life. Habakkuk is not a play prophet. The Bible says Habakkuk names the particulars and the reality of the season that he's in. And he begins to make known his position, his posture, and his response to the season that he's in, because Habakkuk understands that it matters not only that that you endure, but it also matters how you endure. Realizing that you can't change the season, you can't change God, but you can change how you respond to God and the season.
And brothers and sisters, that's realizing that change in this season means that you can anchor your response in someone who cannot fade, who cannot falter, who cannot fail, and who cannot fall. That's what verse 18 is all about. That's why it's powerful. That's why it's potent, because it opens up with one word and three letters, yet. I like it, church. I like it because that word yet does not relate. It doesn't erase the reality of what I just read in verse number 17. Neither does it deny the season that I'm going through. It don't pretend that the figs have started to blossom again. It doesn't pretend that the vine has started giving me fruit again. No. That word yet says that yet does not get the last word. That yet is not my conclusion in my situation. And brothers and sisters, sometimes you've got to just open up your mouth, and you've got to declare at the door being closed, yet I'm going to rejoice. Sometimes you've got to open up your mouth and the bills are still due and say, yet I'm going to rejoice. The pain may still be present, but you got to say, yet I'm going to rejoice. The family may still be fractured, but you got to say, yet I'm going to rejoice. The future may still be unclear, but yet I'm going to rejoice. My situation has not shifted, but yet I'm going to rejoice. The problem ain't disappeared yet, but yet I'm going to rejoice. I'm still praying about it, but yet I'm going to rejoice. My season hasn't changed, but yet I'm going to rejoice. The tears are still falling, but yet I'm going to rejoice. They cussed me out like a dog the other day, but yet I'm going to rejoice. And somebody here, you got to just have an attitude that I got a commitment to rejoice. I got a commandment to rejoice. I got an attitude to rejoice. And you can do whatever you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will rejoice. Don't miss this, church. I'm done. I'm in my seat. I promise you, I'm tired as a dog. But let me tell you, Habakkuk shows us that this is not just a declaration. This is a decision. Because after you declare, you're going to have to decide that I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And see, that's not circumstantial praise. That's not convenient praise. That's not a praise that shows up when life feels good. It's a decided praise. This is the kind of praise David talked about when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my life, in my mouth. See, the problem with our churches and our Christianity is everybody has a because of praise. But the question is, do you have an in spite of praise? Yeah, I know you can praise him because of, but can you praise him in spite of? That means my joy ain't governed by my feelings. My joy is not held hostage by my circumstance. My joy is not waiting on life to get easier before I give God any glory. Matter of fact, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. He said, I made up in my mind, if this field don't ever fill up again, I made up in my mind, if this thing don't ever turn like I want it to be, my goal is not to pretend that life is good. My goal is to remember that through it all, God is still good. And somebody here needs to hear me clearly. What I'm not saying, what Pastor Cam is not saying, that you need to rejoice about everything that happened to you. I'm not saying that you got to rejoice over your tragedies, but what I am saying is you got to find somewhere to put your joy. But because when you can't do it in life, you got to do it in God. Yet will I rejoice. Somebody here today, your word is you need to find a safer place to put your joy. Because your money has failed you. Your children have failed you. Your spouse has failed you. You need to find a safer place to put your joy. And he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Because my joy is in the Lord. Third thing, and I'm done, that you must rely on God for the strength to keep going forward. It's going to get hard. He promised that. He said, man, born of a woman is of a few days, and those days are full of trouble. You're going to have some days. Matter of fact, you ought to wake up expecting something to go wrong, something to happen. But expect that God is going to be there right with you through. But listen, there's so many people who are so reactionary to life. They can't deal with nothing. And if God put too much on it, you'll lose your mind. God is simply saying to us, listen, that when you go through hard seasons, don't even trip. It's a part of the journey. And listen, you got to really remain focused that God's going to help you on the journey. Christians without joy are unattractive. Sometimes it ain't your message that they ain't accepting. It's your demeanor that they can't accept. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's hard to talk about how God has done things for you and made ways for you and be joyous about it and then try to share that from a place that you have no joy. That's why we got to put it in the Lord, because the mission is still the mission. The mandate is still the mandate to go and make disciples, but it's hard to do it when you ain't got no joy. And so he says, I'm going to give you the strength to keep going on the journey. Watch what he says. Look at verse number 19, church. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. Another translation said hind's feet. That's just a deer. He makes me tread on high places. Watch what Habakkuk does. After Habakkuk lets us know in verse 17 where to find joy. 18 with a fine book joy. He shows us in verse 19 how to keep going. He says, the joy of the Lord is, the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet, deer's feet. He's going to help me to walk on high places. In other words, Habakkuk says, I may not have fruit, and I may not have fields, I may not have flocks, herds, or even have the stars, but I got strength in God. But because when you're going through a hard season and God is all you have left, you don't just need a song for Sunday. You need strength for Monday. Habakkuk teaches us that you don't just need joy for the journey. You need strength for your steps. And let me be clear with somebody today. God's strength ain't always feeling like shouting. Sometimes strength looks like getting out of bed when grief tells you to stay under the covers. Sometimes strength looks like praying again when disappointments have filled your heart and made you to be quiet. Sometimes strength looks like pressing your way to church when you got every reason to stay at home. Sometimes strength looks like not quitting when quitting look what makes the most sense in your predicament. Sometimes strength looks like taking one more step when tears are filled in your eyes and faith has claimed your heart. God's strength is not always loud, but it's enough. Habakkuk closes this verse by saying, he makes my feet like hind's feet. Now, church, don't miss this. It's significant because hind is a deer. It's an animal that is known for having sure, stable, secure footing in dangerous, rocky, elevated places. Deers walk up mountains like we walk on sidewalks. Because God created them and he crafted their feet to fit the environment that they're going through. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, in this season, God's going to give me the kind of feet that can handle difficult terrain. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody's word today is that sometimes God won't move your mountain, but he'll give you the strength to climb. Matter of fact, I hear somebody in Birmingham pulling on my ear saying, Lord, don't move my mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. Lord, don't take away my stumbling blocks, but lead me all around. Because sometimes God says, before I change what's going on around you, I've got to strengthen what's under you. And I don't know whose testimony this is, but for every mountain that you brought me over, for every trial you've seen me through, for every blessing, hallelujah.
hallelujah. For this I'll give you praise.
He says, I'm going to give you hands, feet. Listen, church, it's not always going to be easy. Matter of fact, the higher you go up, the more vulnerable you become. Matter of fact, there are some places as God is elevating you, you got to watch your step. Look at somebody and say, watch your step. Because the higher you go up, God is elevating you. And he's saying, listen, follow me as I lead you. And I'm going to give you strength to keep going forward. And that's why this text blesses me. And I'm in my seat. I declare right now that verse 17 says that the field may be empty. Verse 18 says that your joy can still be full. Verse 19 says you can still keep on moving. I don't know who that's for today, but I need to remind you that the field may be empty right now, but your joy can still be full. But there's also grace to keep on moving forward. Let me say it for somebody who really needs it. Things may be going bad right now. Things may be challenging right now. It may be hard to wake up some days, but your joy can still be full, and God can keep you walking. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up on your life. Don't you throw up on what God has given you, because God is committed to keep holding you together. And I don't know where you are today, but some of y'all been having some crazy thoughts in your mind at home, questioning God about how he's gonna move and why God ain't dancing how you wanted him to. But let me tell you that God ain't left you alone yet. And if you're here right now, God is still holding you together, and he's gonna make your feet like deer's feet, so that you can walk on mountains like we walk on sidewalks. Oh, bless his name today, because God is your strength. So what am I trying to say to you today? You have enough. You have enough. You have enough. You got enough to keep worshiping. You got enough to keep standing. You got enough to keep moving. You got enough to keep walking. You got enough to keep preaching. You got enough to keep praying. You got enough to keep singing. You got enough to keep praising. You got enough to keep working. You got enough to keep believing. And so I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. He let me know that he'll never leave me alone. And I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing today. I'm giving him glory today, because God ain't left me yet. Look at somebody and wake them up in 8 o'clock service and say, God, he ain't let me yet. He ain't left me yet. And some people believe, because they left you, God gonna leave you. But can I tell you, he won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And every morning, he's committed to giving you one more reason to rejoice.
Keep on praising him. Keep on praising him. God is good. Yes, yes, yes. That's a mighty word from Pastor Jenkins this morning, reminding us. Yes, indeed. My. Somebody needed to hear that today. Somebody needed to be encouraged today. Thank God for the pastor, the minister today that just preached and helped all of us on this journey today. Amen, amen. And thank God. Praise God. Those of you can and will, stand on your feet. God has spoken directly to you this morning. Wherever you are on your journey, he's spoken to you this morning. Things hadn't worked out for you in some areas. God is speaking to you today. Somebody has been putting off a decision to make God is speaking to you today. Telling you today is the best day to go ahead on and decide on what you're going to do. If you want to join and be a part of this church family, come on. But most of all, if you want to come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a chance this morning, right now, to confess and come to the Lord just as you are. We've been reminded that's our kind of God that'll take care of us even when things ain't working out. He's still going to take care of us. So somebody needs to come to a saving faith today. You've heard this word, and so we're extending to you an opportunity right now to come just as you are. You don't have to worry about people looking at you, because they're going to understand what you're doing, and they're going to be cheering you on to go ahead on. And so we extend to you right now an opportunity to come just as you are. Come just as you are as we sing today.
Says yes, oh yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
From the bottom of my
heart
to the depths of my soul. Oh yes, Lord. Completely.
QR code on the screen there. If you don't want to come down, you can use your phone and let us know that you want to join this church family, or you want to come to a saving faith. We don't want you to leave here today without seizing the moment. So come just as you are. Instead of saying not yet, say yes. Instead of saying I don't know, say yes. Yes, Lord. God, we come now thanking you for this word that we received today, Lord, from you. We thank you for the preaching power of our preacher today, Lord. Thank you that you used him in a powerful way. Somebody here today, Lord, still needs to make a decision. Someone is still wrestling, Lord. And we pray right now for their spirit. We pray right now that they surrender to you, Lord. They may not come down today, but Lord, we give every opportunity to surrender. And so we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. We lift them up to you right now. Thank you, Lord, for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Right, church family, that was a good word this morning at 8 o'clock. Amen. Thank God. Say, man, you need to graduate next weekend too and come on and preach. Amen. All right.